Y'all go to Numbers chapter 12. The first verse that I'm going to read is going to be Hebrews 11:1. And we talked, last week we had testimony time, and it was beyond awesome. Amen. Just how the Father has worked in a lot of different people's lives through these testings that we've gone through over these last, especially over the last couple of weeks. But really, for me, really before Sukkot last year and even going through what we're going through now. The thing about it is I've heard a lot of, people going through different things. And the first thing I want to do in Hebrews 11:1 is about faith. Okay? And then we're going to jump into what we would have done last week in a Torah portion. But I want to read it again. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." We've read, we've heard all of our life that verse about faith. The thing about it is there's so much into this word faith. Faith is an action word. It is not a word that's just sitting around, just waiting for something to come to you. Faith is preparing. We talked about a couple of weeks ago the word shamar means to guard and protect the commandments. You have to be walking in these commandments. You have to be reading them. You have to be proactive in these commandments. Shabbat. When do we get ready for Shabbat? On first day. On first day. If you wait on sixth day and you come slide in, he's going to call you out. That's just the way it'll be. You can't wait till the sixth day. And you know what? And most of us who's been doing the Sabbath for a long time can tell you that we understand what that means, because there's been times in our life where it was, man, I can't believe it's the sixth day, Shabbat's tomorrow, and I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. The Father gives us 6 days. I had a boss one time. Now, I worked offshore 7 and 7 out in the oil field for many years. This is before we came into the Sabbath. And people, we would go out there and work, and then we would come home, and we'd crew change. And we would crew change on Thursday back in those days, and people would show up at the dock late. Finally, one day, our boss, I was fortunate, I'd only had a mishap twice, and I was never late to work out of 20-something years, 26 years. But some people just late people. Amen? Some people are just late. But here's the deal. Our boss called us all in the room, and he said, "I'm going to tell you this." He says, "You got 6 days to get here on time." That's what he told us. He said, "If you got to sleep in your car in the parking lot to make sure that helicopter, it leaves at 6 o'clock. We're flying at 6 o'clock. You be here at 5. You be here to check in and get your name on the roster so we can get the weights and the baggage and everything. You don't come. If you show up here at 6 o'clock, I'm bumping you to the third flight, and you will come in on third flight." And do you know that motivational speech? Everybody was early from then on out. Because if you've ever worked offshore, you want to be, Doug, you want to be on that first flight out of there. You're ready to, when it's time to go home, it's time to go home. But if you were on third flight, your flight didn't get there to noon. So you're sitting there that whole morning. Your day is really wasted if you were on third flight. So all of these guys that had seniority, guess what? They wasn't late anymore because they knew what it was about to be bumped. And our boss will bump you. And if he not only bump you, he'll bump you right. He said, "Do you know that there's a lot of people out there that would love to have your job? I mean, they paid us good money out there." He said, "Do you know, back in the 80s, we're making $20, $25 an hour back in those days. We were making money." And he says, "Look, people would love to have your job if you don't like it." So the thing about it is, it's about being punctual, being early. And sometimes the Father has to give us certain motivations in His Scripture to get us moving. Amen? But faith, what is faith? I said this last week. Faith is the assurance. Assurance means this, a positive declaration intended to give confidence. It's a promise. Faith is the confidence we have in His promises. Guys, He gives us these promises. He gives us these promises, but when things happen to us, we will either operate in faith or we will operate in fear. That's usually what happens. If we're not prepared, fear is the first thing that's going to grip you. You have to be prepared today. You know what? If life is good for you today, if life right now, to me, life is good, I need to be preparing. I need to build my faith today to use it later. Because if I don't build my faith today, if I'm not, you know, Brian said something before. When the Father, don't make a move until you pray. Don't make a move when He asks you to do something, buy something, whatever. You need to get out on your, you need to pray first. You need to bathe that in prayer, and then you'll get your answer. If you don't do it, if you wait, and then all of a sudden you start leaning to your own understanding, I promise you, we always make the wrong decisions when that happens. We just do. So faith, and this is why I say this. Now let's go to Numbers 12, 1 through 12, and it says this. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. What did they do? They used their mouth. They spoke something. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has Yahweh indeed spoken only through Moses? I want you to look at what this is saying. Has Yahweh indeed spoken only through Moses? Do you know what? Miriam was a prophetess. Aaron was the high priest. Yahweh has used both of them to speak. He's used both of them in their ministries in the area. So all of a sudden, Miriam and Aaron, what is going on here in their life to make them come to this place in their life to say, has Yahweh indeed spoken only through Moses? Has He not spoken through us also? And you know what? That's a true fact. Because I want to grab you on this area, and then when we go into other areas, if y'all went through Korah's deal, there's true facts that happen. When they spoke, Yahweh heard it. Guys, understand this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Who always hears it? Yahweh does. You may not know. That's why I say Facebook, social media, everybody is just as bold as a lion. But when you come face to face to somebody, you don't usually say what you would say on something where nobody's around. But understand this, whatever you say or whatever you write, Yahweh hears it. And one day we will give an account for all of the things that we say. So we need to make sure if I'm not willing to say it to Mark's face, I need to keep it in my belly. Amen. It don't need to come out. Amen. It doesn't need to come out. If I'm not willing to stand up in front of him, so because Miriam and Aaron, where's Moses? Moses is not here. They're talking to one another. These are leaders. Absolutely you can. Get it on mic.
Says in Numbers 14 and verse 28, it was actually the Lord was speaking to Moses about the grumblings against me. And it says, verse 28, so I tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say.
Say. Amen. Do you know that most of the stuff that comes upon us is things that we say? It's the things that we open the door and the Father will say, okay, because the Father heard it. I wanted you to know, Miriam and Aaron, they're not just normal people. They're people that are in charge. They're people that their voice means something. Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek. More than all the people who were on the face of the earth, suddenly Yahweh said, and understand this, and suddenly Yahweh said, understand this today, we don't get anything else. Understand, Yahweh gets the last word. And if you don't believe that, there's going to be one day we're standing at the judgment. And what he says Because, you know, he doesn't have to ask us questions there. Because he's going to open a book and everything's going to be played back. Things that are not repented of will be played back. I am so thankful for repentance. I'm so thankful for the blood of Yeshua that can cover and remit and wipe away bonehead decisions. Amen? I've had a lot of bones that he's had to cover up. Just sometimes in the early days, it's like most of us do this. Open mouth, change feet. That's what we do because we always seem to have a foot in our mouth. It says, and suddenly Yahweh said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. And the three of them came out. And Yahweh came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and both of them came forward. Guys, can you just imagine standing at the tent of meeting and all of a sudden Yahweh through the cloud calls you forward? Heart, don't fail me now. I'm just saying, putting ourselves in this, they witnessed. They were in Egypt. They came out. They witnessed the power of the Father. Aaron witnessed his sons being killed by offering strange fire. And it says, and he said, hear my words. This is what I wanted to name this teaching is this, how we arrange our words. How we arrange our words. Do we speak faith or do we speak fear? How we arrange our words. What we say, you can say a fact and it be motivated by fear. Or you can quote facts and it can be motivated by faith. Amen? This is why this is so important. We can speak, but when Yahweh said, hear my words, if there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, myself, make known to him in a vision. I speak to him or with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him mouth to mouth. Clearly, not in riddles. In other words, in our southern Mississippi, I don't monkey around with Moses. I talk with him face to face, truth to truth, and what I say, he understands. And if there's not an understanding, and I discern that there's not, I say it as many ways as I need to say it, so that whenever he leaves and the cloud goes up, he understands what I need done. I speak to him mouth to mouth. I speak to him clearly, not in riddles. And he beholds the form of Yahweh. Can you imagine that? He beholds the very form of Yahweh. Did you have something?
When you were talking about he called Miriam and Aaron forward, but Moses was there, so he had the one accused standing, watching, and listening.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He's asking, now, why were you not afraid? Why did you not consider? You know, we've gone through the Torah portion in Romans 13. It talks about leaders. It talks about people this set in, you know, above us. And the thing about it is the Father is asking us in this, we need to be very, very afraid, not from the standpoint of fear in the wrong sense, but respect. You know, everything we do here, we need to do it with the mindset of honoring our King. Honoring Him. Honoring and giving proper respect. This is why we have certain halakha in this place. We do this to honor our King. When we talk about dress code, we take the Waffle House approach, smothered and covered. Amen. Y'all know what that is? Because we do not want to defraud one another. Amen. This is why we do what we do, is we want to create an environment to bring honor to our King, to to make sure that there's no distractions. And this is men and women both. Amen. Making sure that there's areas, and that's just one thing, that we try to create an environment, you know, to be able to honor our King. You know, we have some, we have the paintings up here on the wall. We have the foyer. People might say, well, why do you do it? I want to create an environment. I want to create an environment when you walk in those doors, you're no longer in Loosedale. You're no longer in Florida. You're no longer in Mobile. You're no longer, amen. You, all of that's behind me. It's the rearview mirror. It's gone. Try to create an environment of worship. Try to create an environment to where we can touch our King and where He can reach down and touch us. To know that whenever we speak, He hears us. Verse 9. The anger of Yahweh was kindled against them and He departed. So what did He do? He said His peace and He left. But when He left Miriam a gift. Verse 10, and when the cloud was removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, like snow. I was going to put a picture up there on the PowerPoint of somebody leprous, but I didn't want to scare the kids. I couldn't find a pretty leprous. If you need to go home and look up somebody who has leprosy, it is not a pretty sight. I'm talking somebody who may be 10 years old, looks 90. I'm talking, it is a skin disease, and it is, I mean, it is an ugly situation. So you can imagine, and it says, and Aaron turned towards Miriam, and behold, she was leprous, and Aaron said to Moses, oh, my master, oh, now I'm your master. He says, oh, my Lord, you know, oh, my Lord. Before, okay, does he not speak to Miriam and Aaron like he does Moses? So now all of a sudden she's leprous, and now I'm your master. You're as holy as the rest of, you're as holy as me. Do your thing, Aaron. That's what he could say. But because he was a very meek and humble person, what did he do? He listened to his brother. But Aaron, guys, this happens over and over and over. People don't think before they mouth off. They don't think about the consequences. People just wake up one day and they'll read something in the scripture or they'll get on Rabbi Google's site or something will happen and they will get this without doing a ton of research and a ton of studying. They will get an idea and they'll run with it. And they'll run with it and this thing will become pagan and this thing will become sanctified and it just goes on and on and on. And then they don't think about the consequences. And the next thing you know, it breeds division. It breeds schisms. We learned that with Korah this week. I mean, we're starting here with Miriam. And I'm glad that in Numbers, I wanted to start here with Miriam and Aaron. Because Miriam and Aaron are sort of close to Moses. Like maybe brother, sister. I mean, it's not like Korah. Now, Korah's still kinfolk because he's still a Levite. He's a cousin. But I'm starting off with brother and sister. So Moses didn't just have a problem with people camping out. It started with his brother and sister. Sometimes situations start with family. And usually it's the ones closest to you that can break your heart. That can challenge what's going on. My master, do not punish us. Moses ain't punishing you. Moses didn't have nothing to do with this. But you know what? He knew Moses had a relationship. Mouth to mouth, face to face, heart to heart. And he knew, Moses, we have sinned. Aaron said this. Look what he said next. Because he didn't say Miriam sinned. Miriam was the one who had the leprosy. Aaron could have just slipped on out the back door. But no, he didn't. He cried out because he understood that he was just as guilty of what was going on because he was part of it. He says, guess what? Because we have done foolishly and we have sinned. Aaron took ownership. Here's another thing that we need to learn to do. If two people have concocted a recipe and cooked something up, but yet one of the people ends up getting damaged in it, and the other people seems not to be touched, don't run from the situation. Because guess what? It's going to get you later. You need to own up to it, and you need to repent. This is Aaron. He's saying, we have sinned. We have sinned. And he's crying out in intercession for his sister. And he says, let her not be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten away. Now, what does this mean? Let her not one be one as dead. You know the reason why it's saying that? What happens to a leper? They get out of the camp. Do you know that she will never live in the presence of the Father any longer? He understood what this meant. He understood if she stays as a leper, she gets out. There won't be no more coming to the tent when the cloud comes down. People, in this section here, we need to think before we speak. We need to understand that when we speak, there's consequences to what we do. Fathers, mothers, we need to speak. We need to, before we just go half-cocked with our children, we need to understand the situation that we can make proper judgment. Children, because you know what? I can tell you this. There's not a child that's ever sinned. Or they won't tell you that they have. I know this, whenever my mom and dad, before they even asked me the question, I said, I ain't do it. You going to believe me or your lying eyes? I mean, you just what kids do. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to paddling. Every now and then you'll find one or two children in life, they will own up to it. They are those that'll do that. But I wasn't one of them. I'll just be up here to tell you. My neighbor did it. My friend did it. My best friend did it. You know, it's just something that's in man to do, but we need to be very careful before we speak. Chapter 13. Listen to this story. Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out or to search out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. For each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man. What does it say next? Everyone a what? A leader or a chief among them. So guess what? Out of the 12 that he chose, these men were men that were responsible. They were looked up to in their tribes and their community. They were chiefs. He just didn't go and just send a private to go search out the land. He sent someone because guess what? Each one of these men, whenever they spoke for their tribe, they represented their tribe. What they spoke carried weight. This is why he chose these men. These stories are here to show us that we need to really listen to what he's saying. He's just not just sending out men. He's sending out particular men. Verse 3, so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the commandment of Yahweh, all of them men who were heads of the people of Israel. These people were respected in their tribes. I just want you to get this because this is important. Let's jump down to verse 17. It says, Moses sent them to search or spy out the land of Canaan, and he said to them, go up into the Negev and go up to the hill country, see what the land is, whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak, whether they are few or they're many. My question was this. Why did they even have to go spy out the land? Yahweh could just say, this is what you need to do, and you just need to do it. Okay, that's what we need to do, and we need to do it. But yet, he didn't go that route. He said, I want you to go search out, spy out the land, and see. Why did the Father do that? It's testing their heart. It's a test. How many times do we see in the Scripture that he allowed you to hunger? He allowed you to this. He allowed you to that. He allowed you to be thirsty to test to see what was in your heart. That's why preparation is so important. If you're not guarding the commandments, if you're not walking in the commandments, I'm telling you, when we get hungry, we need to cry out to the Father and say, Father, are you telling me to fast? If we get thirsty, Father, are you telling me that somebody else, I need to serve someone? What are you telling me? But what do usually we do? We grumble. You read that? We grumble. We come to Him and it's all about the flesh. The flesh pulls on us, but it's testing. He said He didn't do these things to test us to see what was in our flesh. He tested to see what things were in our heart, because where does the Spirit live? In our heart. We need to be Spirit people. We need to be Spirit-led people. But do you know what? Most of us are led by the flesh. When the flesh is hungry, we want something to eat. When do we want something to eat? Right now. Right now. That's the way it is. It's just right now. I'm just being honest. Yes.
I find in my testings is that it shows me, in a way I can't get away from, exactly what is in me.
That's right.
And what I have to do about it. And it seems like there must be a lot in me, because it goes from one thing to another. But I do see the faults then that don't line up with His word.
That's right. That's where it comes from. It's the testing. So the Father sends these 12 out, really, to test to see what was in their heart. Let's look at verse 20. And whether the land is rich or poor, whether the trees are in it or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Now look, the Father already knows what's going on in the land. He knows who lives there. He knows if there's trees there. He knows if there's fruit there. He sent them at the right time. He sent them at a time where there's gathering to be done. Father knew that. But yet, you got to understand, He sent them there to test them. Guys, the Father knew. He knew they wasn't ready. He knew they wasn't ready. That's why He sent them in there. Because, see, He could have turned around and said, okay, you go. We're going to go in here, you go. And you know what? It would have been a total disaster, because they wouldn't have trusted Yahweh. Because they went into the land and they saw that everything He said was great. Look what happens. Jump down to verse 25. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And it says, they brought back what? Word. They brought back word. All 12 of them brought back facts. All 12 of them, believe it or not, all 12 of them brought the same facts. All 12 of them did. All 12 of them brought back the same thing that they saw. All of them brought back true facts. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation. And what did they showed them the fruit of the land. They showed them the fruit of the land. They brought back all of the produce. This is definitely a land flowing with milk and honey. What did they say? They told him, we came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. See, they brought back, all 12 brought back the word. It was exactly what Yahweh told them that was in the land. They brought it back. Now, verse 28, remember what I told you last week or the week before last? When Tammy tells me she loves me, but, baby, I love you, but. Now, the I love you just went out the window, because I'm capitalizing on that three-letter word, okay? They told them facts of how awesome this land was, but they used another word instead of but. They said, however. Same difference. Whatever words you use, they brought back the word, but 10 of them said, however. However, that word, however, fear speaks. Fear is now speaking, not faith. Hear this. They brought back a true fact. The land is flowing with milk and honey. The land is awesome. It can supply everybody's need. Fact. Not faith or fear. That was just fact. But what are you going to do? Now, is it going to be faith or fear? However, fear starts to speak. The people who dwell in the land are strong. That's a fact. Nothing wrong with that. They're strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. That was what he told them at the beginning. Go to see where are they living. Are they living in tents? Are they living in fortified cities? Go see what's going on. There's nothing wrong with that, except it's now the way you're presenting the words back. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. These were the giants. The Amalekites dwelled in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all the Ites were there. They dwelled in the hill country. The Canaanites dwelled by the sea and along the Jordan. But look what Caleb said. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, now faith is speaking. Faith is speaking now. He says, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Two men out of 10 brought the same facts, but one started speaking in fear and only left two that were speaking in faith. Because what is faith? Faith is the confidence that we have in His promises. That's what faith is. The 10 did not believe that Yahweh could do what He said He could do. This is why the word came to me that day that Jeremiah was laying, don't worry about what the 10, we're going to go by what the 2 says. The Father is able to raise him up. And He did. I was 2.5 weeks, He was 2 days. He beat me on that one. I still was 480, He was 110. But the thing about it is, it's the promises. You know what? He promised, if we will cry out to Him, if we're not wallowed in sin, when you cry out to Him, you have a promise that He's going to hear you. We have a promise that He's going to hear our cry. That was the promise that day that I had in the living room when they called in, and Tammy came in there screaming and hollering. Scared me half to death. Almost had to put me through that thing. I was just scared when she came in there screaming, what are you saying? What are you saying? You know? But man, just didn't. Started praying. Started declaring. Started claiming life. Started claiming breath. Started claiming heartbeat. Started claiming everything that needed to happen for him to be able to be the worship leader that the Father called him to be in this place. That's what faith was. He probably didn't like going through the test. But guess what? He don't know squat. Ask him. I don't remember. Ask Tiffany. I don't want to ever go through that again. Somebody else choose. Somebody else. But the thing about it is, but people, this is why it's important, the testimonies, praying, declaring, standing on the very promises that the Father gives us. That's what this is about. Facts. They all had facts. The facts were all the same. But how do you see the facts? What does the Father say about it? What did the Father say when He said, I'm bringing you out of the land of Egypt, and I'm taking you to a land that's flowing milk and honey? I don't care who lives in there. That's not theirs. All the earth belongs to me. If I said it's yours, it's yours. I told you. That's right. The majority's never right. The thing about it is, it's going to be a remnant. But the thing about it is, that belonged to Abraham. Abraham the promise. That's a promise. That's what faith is about. I promised Abraham and his descendants this land. And guess what? Are we going to stand on a promise? The thing is, I don't care who's in that land. And that's what Joshua and Caleb were saying. I don't care who's in that land. I don't care if it is Anak. I don't care if it is the giants. I don't care. You know what? They'll just fall and stir up more dust. The thing about it is the father, this is what he said, let us go up at once. He didn't even hesitate. He said, let us go up at once and occupy it. That's what has to happen. Let's go occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. He wasn't talking about his own strength. Yahweh can, he can sneeze and split the Red Sea, and we can walk across on dry ground. My goodness, he ain't got a problem getting some ites out of the land. You know what I'm saying? That's the least of his problems. I mean, he's already laid it out there. He allowed them people to grow nice trees and fruit for you to have. It was never for them to start with. Promises. That's what this is about. What we say with our words. We've been slapped. We said this months ago, that the Father's going to slap us from time to time. But what are we going to do when he slaps us? The thing about it is we need to rise up and say, you know what? Number one, Father, why are you slapping me? If I'm in sin, I repent. Examination. We go through this at Passover, and we go through this at time before Sukkot. Examination. We go through these times, and they're there for a reason. But here's the deal, guys. The promises that he gives us. He does things. He allows things. You know, Tammy and myself, everybody in here, when you go through something, we go through it. It's just the way it is. But every time people of Israel went through something, Moses went through it. Matter of fact, they were always accusing Moses of being the problem. We read our Torah portion this week. You know, Korah does what he does. The next day, you kill Korah. Moses says, if they die of something normal that you ain't never seen, then you can blame me for it. But if they die of something that you've never seen before, this is Yahweh's doings. Back up. He backed up. He opened up the earth. As far as I know, I've never read in the scripture that every earthquake swallowed them up, done their thing, and then they show up the next day and blame him. I can't believe you killed poor Korah. All his family. Ain't you got a heart? You know what I'm saying? And then Yahweh didn't say squat. A plague started descending upon the camp. Moses recognized it, and what did he do? He hid his face. He got on his face. Got on his face. Aaron, get up and go get the censer, and you get him and you stand between the people and the plague. But before he could, I don't know what he run the 100 in, but I can tell you this, before he could do what he could do, 14,700 people lost their lives. Father didn't come down and says, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to send a plague. You better get your act together. He didn't say squat. They came and they challenged him after all that they had seen. Father said, I'm done. Stick a fork in me, I'm done. And that plague come down, people. The thing about it is that we need to think before we mouth. We need to think, because when we mouth, we don't know what we're liable to have come down on us. Amen? A lot of times, I will tell you, most of my problems is myself. Go ahead, Tim. Amen. I'm just saying, most of our problems is ourselves, our mouths. We get in these situations, and it comes down on us, and then we start hitting our knees and on our face, and we start crying out for the Father to remove what our mouths brought upon us. That's what happens. It's just what happens. But the thing about it is, let's go to Kings. Do I have Kings on there? I don't know if I've got Kings. You sure can.
I've been asking, seeking the Lord lately, and what I've been asking the Lord lately, Mark's actually all over this morning, was, Yahweh, make me a man of a different spirit. See, that's what Yahweh's looking for, Mark Morgan. He's looking for a group of people with a different spirit. Because listen here, it says here in Numbers 14 and 28, it says, not one of them, but it first says, the Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of them shall enter my glory. But then it goes on to say, but Caleb was a man with a different spirit. See, that's the key. This is the key here, y'all. It's the different spirit we have to possess. Understand something, Terry. Caleb already had something before he ever went, Mark.
That's right.
He already possessed a faith before he ever went. See, it was sealed in his heart because he already knew what Yahweh had spoken. This is ours.
That's right.
So he listened to the 12, but he's standing back going, no. I'm going to take, but see what he didn't do, and I want to read something to you real quick. I was looking, and I'll hurry up, Mark.
No, you good. Go,
look,
boy.
I was reading, he did not treat the word of Yahweh. He had heard how many years prior? Mark, he didn't treat it with contempt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I've heard the word contempt. I've been in a lot of court cases, almost 9 years of law enforcement, but I never looked up the meaning of contempt. That you go to jail. A judge can send you to jail, contempt of court. I want to read something to you real quick. Definition of contempt is feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration, worthless, or deserving of scorn.
Wow.
Now listen at this. Scorn, disdain, disrespect, dishonor.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he did not take the word of Yahweh and hold it in contempt as a worthless thing. He took it, accepted it. This is what Yahweh said.
Amen.
This is the faith. Look,
amen.
Before he ever went, Mark Morgan, before he ever went to even look at the giant, he was sealed in his heart. This is what Yahweh said.
Amen.
This is what I'm going to get.
That's right.
And
amen.
No one's going to change my mind.
Amen. Amen. That's it. Amen. So this is what it means. We have to have our mind made up when? Now, we have to have our mind made up now. Ben and Candace, they don't decide on wedding day about marriage.
That's right.
It's the day. It was really yesterday. But it's the day you decide and you make, because it's a commitment. It's a commitment. And it's a lifelong commitment. You understand? That's what he's trying to say today is that's what covenant's about. Do you understand now why it's not about an individual? Do you understand now why the Father is all about community and he's about everybody as a whole? Because it's a body working together. Because it takes time to build a perfect bride that's going to be given to Yeshua. Amen? To where he's got to get all of the spots and wrinkles. He's got to shout it out. He's got to do whatever he's got to do to get this garment clean. Because what did he say? He said, what is the garments? The righteous acts of the saints. That's what he said in the book of Revelation. The righteous acts of the saints are the garments that we put on. If we don't have righteous acts, we got stained garments. He says, change your clothes. How do you change your clothes? Change what you say. Change what you're believing. Change what you're doing. And get lined up with that word. When you walk out this word, what you sow in this life is what you're going to wear in the next one. What you sow, you're going to wear it. So you better be sowing some good stuff. You want a little bling bling? I don't know if they're going to be bling bling, but I can just say that she's saying that. Yeah, she's. Well, maybe that's what we'll walk on the streets and go. That's just what I'm saying. I'm just going to tell you the story in 2 Kings. Elisha Elisha had a servant. Y'all know the story. And the thing is, Elisha got up the next morning, and the Syrian king and all of his army had surrounded them. Elisha's sitting there. He says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And he told Yahweh, he says, "Open up his eyes that he may see." And when he looked up and he opened up his eyes, he saw the hill full of flaming chariots. He saw the angels of the armies of Yahweh all around everywhere. He saw that. What did he see? What is the definition of faith? At the very end, what is the last words? Those things that are not seen, he saw it. He opened his eyes and he saw it. Guys, just because you don't see it, don't mean it ain't there. Amen. Just because you don't see the angels of the army of Yahweh, they're there. The promises is there. And that touched me in a way that I never thought. Because when Elisha knew they were there, Elisha knew, but he said, "Open the eyes of the servant that he may see." And when he opened his eyes, he saw. He saw faith. He actually saw it in action because he saw everything. It's just, guys, it is unbelievable. Amen. I just want to encourage us today, the guys. I've heard a lot of different sermons on faith. I mean, I've heard some. But most of the time when I hear, it's a cheerleading deal. I'm telling you, I'm not up here cheerleading. This ain't about cheerleading. This is about guarding the commandments. This is about preparing day one for day seven. Yeah. This is about preparing now for Sukkot. Yeah. This is about preparing. You want to have a great Sukkot? You better start preparing right now. Yeah. Amen. You better do what you need to do now. You have to prepare the field before you put the seed in it. There's work that goes in it. There's tending that goes in it. Everybody in here loves to eat the fruit. Everybody in here loves to have the basketfuls. But most people don't want to do the work that it takes to get the seed in the ground or get it before the seed can go in the ground. And then what you have to do is to nurture it to get it to where you can have good fruit by the time of these feasts and festivals. The Father is teaching us. He's teaching us and teaching. This is why we go. He's doing these things to test to see what's in our heart. Guys, we're living this word out. People are, you know, and you know what's really sad? I was there, and I know things happen, and I don't know why. Do you know that it doesn't matter what denomination is out there in the world? It don't matter. When Sukkot rolls around, the things that he does it to every congregation. There's things that happens in churches, they will say, and they don't understand. They'll say this, 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 or this, and it'll line up with Sukkot. It'll line up with Passover. It'll line up with things that happens, but they can't they don't know why, because this Old Testament's been done away with. All got the same facts. Are we not reading out all? Most of the Protestant churches is in this, even the Catholic churches are reading out the same book. Reading out of the same book, same facts, different perspectives. Is this, do you see what we're going to go through, what we're going to do at Rosh Kodesh tonight? But these things are for our examples. You know, that we would understand that we would do what? Not make the same mistakes. But this is what we do, same facts, different reports. And the Father is saying, we need to get our reporting right. We need to get our records right. We need to make sure our counting, the numbers add up before we start spouting off something. Amen. What does the Father say about it? What does the Father say about you? That's what counts. Do you know that when I look at you, I'm supposed to see you like the Father sees you? That would fix our problems. No matter what we've done, as long as we're repented, don't matter. Because it's been covered. Because I can tell you this, I don't want Yahweh or Yeshua seeing me the way I was. Because if he does, I'm burnt toast. I'm just telling you, that's just the way it is. But if he's been able to do that for me, why can't I do that for you? Why can't we look at someone else that has, in trying and studying and struggling, that we can see people like the Father sees them? That's what it's going to take. That's what's going to take for us to be able to trust one another. Because one of these days, this is what it's coming to. One of these days, I'm going to have to trust you. One of these days, you're going to have to trust me. I will tell you that everybody in this place don't trust me. Well, y'all don't have to get long face. I mean, I hope it wasn't all that many. But the thing about it is, so what am I saying? But what I'm saying is that happens. I'm just saying. But do you know what? I need to earn your trust. I'm good with that. I need to earn your trust. You need to see me walk out these commandments. You need to see this. You don't need me to sit. Too many preachers out there, they're not walking out what they're saying. The thing about it is, this is not a job. This is a calling. Because you don't understand, what scares me the most is I'm dealing with people's lives. That's why I take it beyond serious. I'm dealing with people's lives. The words, the moment. Just go back to Jeremiah's case. Like, Jeremiah's sleeping. He's got some good drugs. He's out. Parents, wife, family, Corey, Ramey, all the people, you know, in that situation. The thing about it is, they need a word. They need a word that's going to reach down. Because you know what? Even if, remember that song? I love that song. Even if, he said, I'm glad. He's fighting his kid who's sick. He said, I know, Father, you could heal him, but even if you don't, you're still Elohim. Even if you don't. And the thing about it is, but people are looking for somebody to step in, because I ain't got that faith right now. I ain't got it right now. I'm scared. I'm just flat scared. This has happened to me. I don't know what tomorrow brings. I'm at the place where I don't know. And you know what? You may need to be the one that steps up and says, you know what? And encourage with confidence, the Father's got this. The Father's got this. Not just blowing positive stuff, reality of reminding. Do you know, why does the Father wants us, Yahweh wants us reminding him of his promises. He wants us reminding him of his promise. That's what I was doing that day. That day in that living room, I was up and down. I was saying, Father, remind him of his promises. The callings. He didn't call just Jeremiah. He called Tiffany too. She may not like it, but he called her too. And the thing about it is, but they're a team. He calls teams is what he calls. Amen.
Mark, listen, I got something real quick. I've been fighting this for the past 20 minutes sitting here talking, and he won't stop.
Did you remember something?
No, I think I remembered something. Y'all, we need a beyond take advantage right now of what he's bringing us. We need to open our ears. We need to open our minds and understand right now what this man is bringing us. We've got an opportunity right now to take a step forward, not just to sit where we've been in this comfortable, you know, I know I'm walking out his commandments, but instead, not only are we doing that, but take a step forward in faith, amen, a place where we've never been before.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? We can all sit here and say, yeah, I've got faith that I'm going to make it to Shabbat next week, or yeah, I've got faith that, you know, my kids are going to grow up and walk in his word. But do you have faith that when your husband's laying on a bed with blue face and blue lips, that Yahweh's going to raise him?
Amen.
I don't have that faith. I'm praying right now that what we're learning right now, that Yahweh will instill that in us.
Amen.
But that's something that my brother, my father, my family, or anyone who even saw me said, there's no way in natural earth this man should wake up. But we've got faith.
Yeah.
But guess what? Where Yahweh brought them to build them to that faith. It wasn't just some little small thing, a bad cut or a bad bruise.
That's
he
right.
killed a man.
Yeah.
He killed a man to give her that faith she needed.
Yeah.
Or to build him up to give him that faith he needed.
Yeah.
It wasn't something minor.
Right.
So you're looking at the same thing with the story he's showing. These are a bunch of people who have no idea what they're going to face. And if Yahweh would have just said, let's go in here and let's take over these people, every one of them would have said, absolutely, let's do it. But guess what he did? He said, let's actually go look at it first. I'm going to let y'all go see what you're about to face. And now let's see if you still have faith in me.
That's right.
How many of them did? Only two. Only two. How badly do we want to be that two? This is our opportunity to step up and be that too. Amen?
Amen.
This is our opportunity. We don't always have these kind of things that happen that can build our faith that way. This is our opportunity. But not only that, just like Radshak and Meshach, guess what? Even if we do go over there and we're supposed to die, then I will burn for Yahweh. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't matter. I won't bow to any man or any other entity other than Yahweh. This is our opportunity. And this is a moment where we can get kicked into gear that says, open up your eyes. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to pay attention to what he's saying. Okay? It's easy to get emotional, you know, for him because he is leading this whole congregation. But I'm leading my family. Josh is leading his. All of us are leading our families. We have to have that strong faith.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's not just as simple as Yahweh saying, hey, go do this, and we go do it. What about when he shows us that it's against all odds?
Amen.
And that we're not supposed to win the battle.
That's right.
But instead, we still know, I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I'm supposed to die, I will. But Amen. Yahweh's going to have his way.
Amen.
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 No matter what happens, he's having his way.
Amen.
My heart's about to bust out of my chest.
I heard that. Amen. Very good word. One with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city. Joy will be heard once again. I am challenged.